Wow, I've never heard my own bio read. good morning, saints and ambassadors of God Almighty and His kingdom. I was actually very thrilled when Pastor John asked me to share. I had to pick the last week of all the weeks that you, or all the options that you gave me, because it has been very busy. And a good busy. There is a good busy and there is a bad busy. The bad busy is this. If you think of B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. Now, that's the bad busy. The good busy, I don't have an acronym for him, but it's just good. It's just good. So it has been busy. And I was thrilled to read your theme for 2023. And that theme, amen, it themes like that only come from the Holy Spirit. That does not come from the will or the thought of man. Your theme is ambassadors of Christ. Stand firm, establish your hearts, obey, and go. Ambassadors of Christ. I'm thrilled about that because the whole of Scripture, except for four chapters, is all about missions. It's God sending forth a representative into this world with a mission to accomplish. And then that person was, of course, the ambassador Jesus Christ, and now has called us to join in that mission as his ambassadors. Chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis is not about missions. There was no fall. Things were good. Adam and Eve were busy. Are you good busy? And then the last two chapters of Revelation are the fruit of the labors of the chief ambassador of the kingdom of God and his co-ambassadors, which is us, his church. Everything in between is about missions. Jesus Christ is that chief ambassador. And so this may seem very silly, but I wanted to make sure I had a clear understanding of what an ambassador is. I mean, we kind of have it in our head, but this is the dictionary definition. An accredited official sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country to promote a specified activity. So now think about it. Jesus leaves his kingdom country, his culture, and he enters into a foreign country, or our world, or as C.S. Lewis would call it, enemy-occupied territory. And he comes here for a specific activity. And he came and proclaimed what that activity was. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. And he fleshes out the activity, which we know the story. First of all, he's incarnated. He then lives this perfect life, and then he willingly goes to the cross to become the, whatever word you use, but I like the word propitiation. In other words, he appeases God's wrath that is rightly so upon us because of even the prayer that we, our confession prayer. We thought wrong this past week. We did wrong. I am not an angel. I have fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone has. And that beautiful little baby has even fallen short, because little babies are just born sinners. We don't like to hear that, but it's true. And so this chief ambassador enters into this world. We become now his ambassadors. We have an official sending from him, from this chief ambassador, Matthew 28. We know the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples. Baptize them, teach them, and I'm going to be with you all along the way on your journey on this planet as an ambassador. I'm going to be with you. But this is your task. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us this ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 5, and then verse 20, which is part of your theme. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We are on mission, church. We are the ambassadors. We are his saints, covered, reconciled, at peace with God. His wrath is away from us. Now he has mandated, and rightly so, because he is king and Lord of all things, and he's mandated us to go now and engage in mission, in missions. The scripture reading this morning, I think, is really appropriate. And as I reread and read and reread again that scripture, I think I want to pull out six marks for what it means for us, the church, to be his ambassadors. Verse 1, then Jesus, the ambassador, was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I see two marks of an ambassador in that one verse. The first mark is ambassadors of Christ understand that there are two kingdoms in conflict. There was a picture up there earlier. Yes. There is the kingdom of God represented by the ambassador himself, Jesus, who was sent again by the Father with a mission. And we have this little story of a prince of the power of the air, or also known as the God of this age, and his kingdom. They now confront each other. And so I think as ambassadors, we cannot forget that there are two kingdoms in conflict. It is easy for you and for me, because I just believe we get caught up into the things of the world and life and just work and children, and all those things are good. They are blessed by the Lord. But we cannot forget that there still is an enemy, a ruler of a kingdom that is at work here, and there are things happening in us, around us, and in this world in which these two kingdoms are wrestling with each other. C.S. Lewis also said this: every square inch, every split second is being claimed by God and counterclaimed by the enemy. Every square inch on this planet, every split second. These two kingdoms in conflict have the same purpose. They both want to rule and to reign. We see the outworkings of that in this world. We see the rule and reign of God in our lives. And those who are not saved, we see the rule and reign of the kingdom of darkness in their life. Both kingdoms have the same priority. I'm fully convinced of this. And that's the souls of people. Souls are eternal. Souls are the currency of the galaxies. Satan automatically has souls in his kingdom at the beginning of birth. And then the kingdom of God's ambassadors proclaim good news, and then the Holy Spirit works and releases people who respond to the good news of Christ. and transfers them from the kingdom of darkness in which they were bound and locked and brings them into the kingdom of the God in whom he loves, our Lord Jesus Christ. We are recipients of that. We were once bound in darkness. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies never come to an end. I love that song. It's so we would not be here if it were not for his faithfulness. I wasn't faithful. I was going my own way, doing my thing. God had to rescue me. He had to initiate it. It was not willed by me, desired by me. I did not work for it. It all came from God in Christ, who sent his chief ambassador on a mission. The plan of each kingdom, though, is different. The plan of the kingdom of darkness is to stop Jesus. He wants to stop our mouth from proclaiming this good news. And the plan of the kingdom of God is us. We proclaim that good news. Second mark from the first verse. Ambassadors of Christ are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus was led up by the Spirit. We as ambassadors need to be empowered by him. Without the Holy Spirit and our absolute surrender to him, there would be no missions. It is the Holy Spirit who calls and gifts his ambassadors. It is the Holy Spirit who empowers ambassadors for missions. It is the Holy Spirit who guides and gives directions to his ambassadors for missions. The Great Commission sets forth the basic framework, the essentials and directions for the limitless, ever-growing, ever-changing needs that are on this planet. They are continuous. The poor we're always going to have with us. There's always going to be trauma. There's going to be wars upon wars. There will be earthquakes and catastrophes and human tragedies. There will be situations in our own life, in our family, in our neighborhood, our communities, our church. These needs are ever present. And amidst all those, Jesus says, go and make disciples. All authority has been given to me. You must continue on in this mission. You need to do it throughout the whole world, north, south, east, and west. That's the compass. And the plan is proclaim the gospel, disciple these new converts, baptize them, and then teach them to obey everything that Christ has commanded us. It is also the Holy Spirit who grants divine boldness to witness. It is he who influences every dimension of the effective preaching ministry. It is the Holy Spirit who gives the wisdom of God to speak clearly. G.W. Peters said this, the fact that missions essentially is a ministry of the Holy Spirit is both a comfort and a challenge to us here as ambassadors. It's a comfort in that we may trust him fully to accomplish his work, and yet it is a challenge in that only Spirit-filled people, Spirit-sanctioned means, and Spirit-approved methods can be used effectively in missions and in ministry. Verses 2 through 10 talk about the three temptations that come upon our Lord, this chief ambassador. After the Lord Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of God led him into the desert and tested him by the devil. After fasting for the 40 days, he became hungry. And in a moment of vulnerability and exhaustion, the devil comes and seeks to undermine this ambassador's trust in the Father and to actually challenge his ambassadorship by tempting him to turn stones into bread, to cast himself down from a pinnacle of the temple so that angels could rescue him, and to bow down and worship him, the tempter, in exchange for the world and all its possessions. In every case, our Lord resisted the temptation, quoting God's word and standing true to the Father. So here's the mark of an ambassador, number three. So the first one is we understand that there are two kingdoms in conflict. The second one was we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the third one is ambassadors are equipped. They know that all scripture, in each one of those cases, the Lord Jesus uses scripture to combat the enemy. Let me say this now again. They know that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the ambassador, that's my word I put into the scripture there, of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. And they also, ambassadors also heed the words of Paul the apostle to do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker or ambassador who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We need to be equipped. Ambassadors must spend time in the word of God. Now, this word equipped to me implies two principles that I think are very relevant as ambassadors. As you quit to be equipped in the scripture, as the scriptures say, so we can study to show ourselves approved and to correctly handle it, I think there are two implications to that. First of all, ambassadors of Christ in their equipping need to be endeared to the Lord. They need to hear him and listen to him. I love this short little passage in Luke chapter 9. It's the story of the transfiguration. Three of the disciples are up there. And Peter says to Jesus, Master, it is good that we're here. Let us make three tents. Let's be about doing something, basically is what he's saying. One for you, and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said, as he was saying these things, though, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Listen to him. That's the Father saying to the co-ambassadors, that's my chief ambassador. Listen to him. Be endeared to him. Be devoted to him. This will help in your equipping as you spend time in the scriptures. He will speak to you. He will bring out things that are important. It is interesting in missions that the apostle Paul in Acts wanted to go up north. And there were lost people up there. But the Holy Spirit, he was listening, said, no, I don't want you to go up there. I want you to go down over here. And that was the Macedonian call. So it's interesting. Were there unsaved people up there? Should they have heard the gospel? Absolutely. But that's not ours to question. Ours is to listen and then to obey, which is one of the parts of your theme, to obey him as ambassadors. Endearment was the way of the apostles. Here's another short little story. I love this little story in Acts chapter 4. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they're before these other religious leaders, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. Uneducated, common. The Greek word that's used for that in the Greek is idiotai. Could you guess what that means in English? Idiots. These people are idiots. We're the educated ones. But they were astonished, even though they called them idiots, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. There was something about them. They may have been uneducated. And it is good to get an education, and we need to equip ourselves in the scripture, but that's why this principle implies it is important that we're endeared to him. Because people will notice the fragrance of the Lord himself will be upon you. They will see things and they will be confounded, that is just part of the way of the apostles, and I believe now as ambassadors of Christ. Endearment alone is all that is needed for an ambassador to shake the foundations of the forces of darkness. Paul also warned the Corinthians about the enemy's tactics along this implication of being equipped by being endeared to Christ. He said this, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion or endearment to Christ." That's the tactic of the enemy. He wants to get ambassadors away from being close to Christ. Keep them away from the scriptures to equip yourself as an ambassador. The Apostle Paul also exhorted the Corinthians in this. "I say this, quote, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord." It is the way of the apostles. It is the way of ambassadorship to represent him. You're equipped. You take time. It's not a restraint. Paul's not making a restraint. Study to show yourself approved. That's not meant to be binding or burdensome. You study yourself approved to be endeared to Christ. The second implication of being equipped in the scriptures is that you're equipped from and for the church. I am a churchman. I believe in the local body of Christ, the bride of Christ. I will defend her no matter what she looks like, no matter how small, how rich, how poor, where she's located, meeting underneath a tree in sub-Saharan Africa, in the jails. It just doesn't matter. That is the bride of Christ. We are equipped from and for the church. Satan and his kingdom hates the bride of Christ and seeks to malign and destroy the church. His hatred and wrath know no bounds, for he is well aware that the church is not only the embassy where the ambassadors gather. You're an embassy here. You gather as ambassadors, but he also knows that you're an outpost of the kingdom of God. In war, a military outpost is a detachment of troops positioned to stand guard against unauthorized intrusions and surprise attacks. They provide protection in the area. Now apply this definition to you all here, to a local church, and you have a detachment of ambassadors under the rule and reign of God Almighty, standing guard against the forces of darkness. You are an outpost of the kingdom, an embassy where the ambassadors gather. The church is also the agent of God's kingdom witness. The church witnesses through joyful obedience to the rule and reign of God. Jesus is the rightful king of God's kingdom, and we kneel before him in gratitude, in readiness, in awesome worship this morning to serve him even unto the point of death. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," we are praying that my kingdom would go as well as my will be gone. The church is the only agent in this world that demonstrates submission to the redemptive rule and reign of God and his kingdom. The church is also the pillar and foundation of the truth. She defends a great tradition and a sacred roots. What we know of Jesus all comes from the apostles. And the apostles passed that on to the early church leaders. The early church leaders passed that down throughout the centuries. And here we are. We have a great tradition. We have a doctrine, an apostles' creed. This is what we confess and what we believe. And it is the church that is the pillar and foundation of this truth. The church is also the sign of God's covenant faithfulness. He made a covenant in Genesis chapter 3 that I'm going to send an ambassador on a mission and he's going to crush Satan's head and he's going to be the victorious one. That was his covenant promise. And throughout the ages, then all of a sudden the church gets planted, established on the day of Pentecost, all because of his covenant faithfulness. The church is the foretaste of God's kingdom blessing. It is just a foretaste. In the Greek, I think the word is erebon. Yes, the Greek word is erebon. It's a foretaste. When I was growing up, my mom used to make rice-a-roni. Y'all know rice-a-roni? That might be old school. I'm sure y'all make better rice than rice-a-roni. But man, I would walk in the house and you could smell the rice-a-roni. And I would try to sneak in there and get that little spoonful. And only as moms could do, moms like hover. They hide. They hide off in corners, and they're just waiting, watching. And all of a sudden I get real close and bap, get your hand and spoon out of that rice-a-roni. But then she would give me a taste. Here, until dinner, here's a taste. That's the erebon. That's the taste. We have a foretaste of the kingdom. In other words, the foretaste is we've been fundamentally transformed. We have peace with God now. We are cleansed from sin and unrighteousness. We have been rescued and delivered from the kingdom of darkness. We have been redeemed and forgiven. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. The nature of God is imparted to us. The image of Christ, it's recreated in us. We are made a child, a son and daughter of the Most High. We are his ambassadors. The church is also the steward and custodian of the power of the God, and that is the gospel. The church is the community of the kingdom, the embassy for the ambassadors, but it is never the kingdom itself. The kingdom is God's reign and the realm in which the blessings of his reign are experienced. The church is the fellowship of those who have experienced God's rule and reign and entered into the enjoyment of his blessings. The kingdom creates the church, works through the church, and is proclaimed in the world by the church. The church is the end game in town. I believe that so much. That's why I believe in church planting. The church is the end game in town. She is the bride of Christ, no matter how small again or what she looks like, what her people are, what language, what ethnicity. They all gather as a community of ambassadors, representatives of Christ. So, to be equipped, the implications are be endeared to Christ, to listen to him as you study to show yourself approved. And that equipping is from and for the church. There is teaching here. You're being equipped. So it's from it. You go out. God uses you as ambassadors so that when people respond, they come back for the church, for the building up of the body of Christ. Let me move on to Mark 4, or the fourth Mark. I'm going to do this real quickly. There is one God to worship. Actually, I should back up. I've got to give you some context for this. Verses 8 through 10. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God with, and him only shall you serve. Mark 4, or the fourth mark of an ambassador. There is one God to worship and serve, and access and relationship to God is in Christ Jesus. So the mark of an ambassador is to proclaim this, to go out and to evangelize. We are to go to the world. The battle between God and Satan is ultimately for souls. I had mentioned that earlier. Souls from every nation, people, tribe, and language. The harvest field is plentiful. It is complex. It's vast. We are now over 8 billion people on this small blue planet. And they say approximately, I think 2 to 3 billion, they would call at least evangelical. So that's a large harvest field. And we're the ambassadors to enter into that harvest field and proclaim good news. Here is the sacred and tremendous responsibility of the church toward the world. If the church fails to preach God's way of forgiveness of sins, no one else will, and the world will remain in sin and therefore separated from God and in the bondage of the evil one. Because the church is God's instrument through his ambassadors in preaching the gospel, she finds herself either bitterly opposed by all evil forces, or she is tempted to be sidetracked into all kinds of secondary and social services, which in themselves may be good and uplifting, but they do not constitute the essential missions of the church. Satan never minds a busy church, but he hates a holy and gospel preaching church, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The fifth mark of an ambassador. Then the devil left him, verse 11, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. I think the mark of an ambassador is to embrace. Jesus embraced the angels. The kingdom of God, his rule and reign, is immediate, progressive, and cataclysmic. It is under no threat. The kingdom of God is inclusive and exclusive. Those who are in the kingdom have God as their father. That's the inclusive group. God is not the father of all, though. That's the exclusive group. Paul the Apostle divides humanity into two classes, those in Christ, those not in Christ. God is peculiarly the father of all who believe, irrespective of nationality, race, gender, age, or class. We are all created in the image of God, though, the Imago Dei, but we are not all sons and daughters. He is God of all. But only those who respond to the chief ambassador and his mission by faith become sons and daughters. Therefore, we are not all brothers and sisters to the whole world. We embrace each other. You are my brother and my sister, no matter your nationality, ethnicity, color, red, yellow, black, or white. They are precious in his sight. He loves the world, but boy, we're a special family. We have a father, a heavenly father, and we now become brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to move us on here real quick. The sixth and final mark of a Christian. Ambassadors of Christ endure. This is the first Sunday of Lent. The Lenten season is that 40-day period of the church year, which starts on Ash Wednesday and ends on Saturday of Holy Week. It calls the faithful community, the ambassadors of Christ in his kingdom, to reflect on Jesus' suffering, crucifixion, and death. Following our Lord in his preparation for his passion, we prepare ourselves on the way of the cross for full obedience to God. The season of Lent is therefore, as one commentator put it, a season of preparation, accompaniment, and journey. Beginning with the recognition of Ash Wednesday, we accompany our Lord on this journey to the cross. Jesus endured. He endured the temptation. He endured the ridicule. He endured the leaving of his closest friends. He endured the pain, the agony on the cross. He endured all that because he was an ambassador sent by God the Father Almighty on a mission. And he willingly again did this. We as ambassadors need to endure as well. So in closing, I believe if I get this right, this is the overseas Christian missions. Chinese missions church. Okay, so I got the word mission in there though. Okay, that's all that's important. Yes. Become that mission church is my challenge to y'all. Take on the six marks of an ambassador. And through that, stand firm, establish your hearts, obey, and go.